Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the Spirit of God that's in this place. Lord, we just pray that this morning that you would do a work inside our hearts and lives. Lord, that by the power of your word, we would be changed. Lord, I pray that today is a beginning, a fresh new beginning in many hearts and lives to walk in victory as a Christian. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, the message is just simply titled Word Power. We're in a series, a brief series. In fact, Lord willing, this is going to be the last in this brief series on how to power up your life as a Christian. It takes power to live a Christian life, but you got to know how to get that power in your life. And as I said, the title this morning is Word Power. I realized that there is a vocabulary quiz in Reader's Digest each month or however often that goes out, titled that same title, Word Power. It's a quiz where they see if you know uncommon words, unusual words. And the implication is it's word power because if you have a big vocabulary and you can impress people and maybe it'll cause you to be more successful. I don't know about that, but have you ever seen that? You ever seen that word quiz, word power thing? Three of you, that's great. Have any of you ever taken it and aced it? Well, it's pretty tough, isn't it? Y'all are kind of quiet this morning. Didn't get much response. Y'all seem to be a little reticent, maybe even taciturn. Not impressed, right? I don't know about you, but I have a little bit of a sardonic attitude regarding the whole idea that by knowing uncommon words, it's going to be powerful. Okay, that's enough of that. But what is powerful is the Word of God. The Word of God really does have power. Not worried about impressing people. We want to have the power of God in our life. And the Word of God has an inherent power in it to help you live the life, the victorious Christian life that God has for you. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It is the power of God that makes us new creatures, that causes us to live a new life. When we are born again, we're born of God, and the power of God is in our lives. You know, man-made religion can't really change a life. It takes the power of God. The Bible even asks this question, can a leopard change its spots? Well, no. Man-made religion can dye one or paint it. That's what man-made religion tries to do. But you see, the gospel doesn't just dye us or paint us. No, the gospel changes us. A leopard can't change his spots, but the power of God's word can transform you, the Bible says, into a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're not the same anymore. It happens from the inside out. But you know, as we've been born of the Spirit of God and we're new creatures in Christ, it takes power every day to live the Christian life. We need the power of God just to live a Christian life every day. Now, when we're born of God, we're the children of God. We are the children of the all-powerful. So there's no shortage of power. The issue is we have to learn how to get that power in our life, how to power up our lives. It's available to us. We talked about how that His power is at work in those who believe. We talked about how Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That power is available. This morning, I want you to hear this. Now, there's another source of power that's available to us every day. It is the power of the Word of God. Most people don't really use it, but it's available to us. We need more power. If we want to really live a victorious, overcoming life, then we need to use all the power that's available to us. Wouldn't it be great to see, to experience more of the power of God in our life? And here it is available to us. We want it. I'm telling you, it's in the Word of God. Hebrews 4 and 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Two things in this verse that we need to see. Just the first two things, all right? This verse has a lot in it, but just the first two things. First of all, it tells us that it is not a dead book. It is a living word. It is alive. You see, some people approach the Bible as it were just some words on a page, just a religious book. But I'm telling you, this book is alive. It's living. Jesus said in John 6, 63, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. You see, the Word of God to us is spirit and life. It will bring life to your whole being. We need to realize how important the Word of God is to us. See, some people act like, well, you know, I can take it or leave it. It's not really a big deal. No, it's spirit and life to us. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, how many of you are just going to go the rest of the day today without eating? None of y'all are going to start thinking about lunch while you're in here, right? Nobody cares about that. You know, no, most of us, we hate to miss a meal. In fact, we hate to be late for a meal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we like to eat on a regular basis. We understand that. But the Bible, the Word of God, is food for our spirit. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You need to see as a Christian that the Word of God is not optional to you. You wouldn't want to eat just once a week. That's just not even healthy. But why do we put the Word of God on the shelf and only partake of it once a week? No, we need the Word of God every day. Many times a day. If we want to be strong, if we want the power of God working in our life, then we need to avail ourselves of the living Word of God. It is alive, and second, it is powerful. Alive and powerful. Psalms 33 and 6 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. What power! You know, here's something that all scientists can agree upon, whether they believe in God or not. That it was tremendous power that created this universe. Now, where that power came from, of course, is debatable. It's something that they argue about. Some who believe in creation and some who believe in the eternal mass that it one day exploded. But they all agree that there was this tremendous explosion of power. But the Bible tells us very plainly where that power came from. It came from the Word of God. It was the words of His mouth. By His Word, He spoke it all into being. That's the power of the Word of God. Now, it's found many times in Scripture. Another example is Hebrews 11 and 3. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You see, where it all came from, the Bible tells us very plainly that everything we see was spoken into existence. It didn't come from visible things, but it came from the Word of God. So this Word, it has the power to create a universe. It certainly has the power to change your life. If you need more power in your life as a Christian, here's power that's available to you. Right here in the Word of God. It's available to every one of us, but we have to avail ourselves of the Word of God. Without the Word, we can have all kinds of, we end up with misconceptions. We're susceptible to deception. Without the Word of God, we live in error and we live without power. Jesus said, Matthew 22 and 29 in the King James Version, "You are in error because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God." Now some translations say, "You are mistaken." That's just not strong enough, all right? That's why I use the King James on that verse, because, listen, it's more than you're mistaken. It means that you're heading the wrong direction. You are in error. And how does that happen? It's when you don't know the Scriptures or the power of God. You need to know this. It is not an accident, a coincidence, that he mentions those two things together. They go hand in hand. He said, you're in error because you don't know the Scriptures nor the power of God. We need to know the Scriptures and know the power of God in our life. Otherwise, we end up in error. Isaiah 55 and 11, the word says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." See, when his word goes forth, it accomplishes something. There's a power in it. It does what he pleases. His words are never empty words. You know, it seems like in our society today, somebody's always talking. Somebody's just running off of the mouth, just blabbing. Empty words. God's words are never empty. They don't return void. They have a power in them, and they accomplish what he sends them to do. The word of the Lord is for a purpose. His word has the power to rebuild, to restore, to create, to heal. His word can also bring destruction. His word can tear down. You know, the word of the Lord came to a young man named Jeremiah. He called him as a prophet, and Jeremiah was just a young man. He said, "Who am I? I'm just a child." But God called him and told him that he was going to use him as a prophet. Listen to what he says in Jeremiah 1, 9 and 10. "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant.'" Jeremiah, he says, "I'm just a child." And yet God is going to use him. But it's not Jeremiah's power. It's not Jeremiah's word. It is the word of the Lord through Jeremiah. And it's not the strength of the servant. It's the power of the word of God through that servant. And I just want you to see that God's power, or God's word, has the power to uproot, to plant, to build, to tear down. It has power in it. Psalms 107 and verse 20 says, "He sent his word and healed them." You see, just by the power of the word of God going forth, people can be healed. We need to realize what we're talking about when we're talking about the word of God. One of the things that just kind of blew my mind as a young Christian was when I first saw these verses and realized what they're saying. John chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And here's the part that can just blow your mind if you haven't seen this before. "And the Word was God." The Word was God. It was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. How can we ever take the Word of God lightly? How can we ever think of the Word of God as just another book? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then go to verse 14 of that same chapter. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Word that was with God from the very beginning, and the Word was God, the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ was the Word in the flesh. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, when people looked at Jesus, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But here it's also telling us that when you saw Jesus, you saw the Word with flesh on. So when we talk about the Word of God, we're talking about the power of God. We're talking about God. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And I'm telling you, that power is available to us. We need to tap into it. But listen, Jesus is the Word. So if you love Jesus, you love the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying, I know, some people don't like to read. You don't like to study. Well, it takes a little bit of effort. But I'm just telling you, whether you like to read or not, or like to study, if you love Jesus, you love the Word. Because Jesus is the Word made flesh. If you're into Jesus, you're into the Word. If you want to really get to know Jesus, then get to know the Word. We need to become intimate with the Word of God. The Word has power in it. It has power to bring faith in our lives. You know, the message 2 weeks ago, we talked about how important it is to tap into the power of God. We have to believe. Yet so many of us, in different areas of our lives, we struggle to really believe God. If I could just believe God in this area, if I could just believe God for that, if I had the faith. But the Word of God has the power to bring that faith, to cause that faith to rise in our hearts. Now listen, Jesus says in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe. And there's the key for us, is whether or not we can believe. There's power available, but can we believe? So how can we get our faith up? How can we believe? What causes faith to come? Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's when you hear the Word of God, when you receive of the Word of God, then faith comes. You know, people that hear the Word of God preached about healing over and over and over again believe God for healing much more than people that have never heard it. In fact, people that have never heard that God heals, they don't believe in healing. They've never heard the Word of the Lord regarding healing. They don't believe in that. No, but when you've heard the Word preached about healing, when you've heard He sent His Word and healed them, when you've heard that Jesus healed them all, see, when you've heard that He forgives all of my iniquities and heals all my diseases, the more that you hear the Word on healing, the more that faith rises in your heart to believe God for healing. See, people that hear that Jesus came to set the captives free over and over, and they hear that preached, that the one that came to set the captives free, listen, he said, whom the Son sets free, free indeed. The more that you hear that preached, that Jesus delivers from addiction, that Jesus delivers and sets free, then the more that you can believe for that. But if you've never heard that preached and never heard that Word, it's hard to have any faith for that. No, it's the more that we hear it. Jesus says, John 14:27, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The more that you hear that the Prince of Peace can give you a peace on the inside the world can't take away, a peace that passes understanding, that is not dependent upon circumstances, the more you hear about that peace, the more you can believe for it. But it's when we hear the Word that faith comes. Faith comes by hearing the Word, and hearing by the Word of God. It brings faith into our hearts. You know, sometimes you don't get it the first time you hear it. In fact, most of the time, we don't believe something the first time we heard it, even if it was straight from the Word of God. It's when we hear it over and over and over again, we eventually get it. You know, we talked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit last week, And most people don't believe that the first time they hear about it, even though it comes straight out of Scripture. They have to hear it more than once. They hear it over and over. But the more that you hear those Scriptures or you meditate and you go over those Scriptures, the more that faith will come and you'll believe that that's available to you and that you can receive it. Now, I just want to address this issue real head on this morning. There is a false teaching in the body of Christ today that whatever faith you have is the faith that God gave to you, and that's all you can ever have, and that's just the way it is. So if you've got faith to be saved, you can be saved, and if you don't, you just can't. And if you've got faith to be healed, you can be healed, but if you don't have faith to be healed, well, you just can't ever be healed. And that's just all it is. You have whatever faith God gave you. I want to tell you that that's not what the Scripture teaches. That's not the evidence of Scripture. The evidence of Scripture is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Nobody believes in healing until they hear it preached. Nobody believes the gospel until it's proclaimed. You can't believe Jesus died for your sins until you heard He died for your sins. This is spiritual 2+2. It's when we hear the Word that faith comes. In fact, if you just back up in that same passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 10, back to verse 14, listen to what it says. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? You can't believe in the one that if you haven't heard of Him. And how shall they hear without a preacher? It is by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes. We want the power of God at work in our life. I tell you, we have to hear the Word of God. It is by hearing the Word of God that faith comes. The Word of God has a power to change your life. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It has the power to save you from the sinful condition of fallen man, to set you free, to deliver you from sin, sickness, hopelessness, to restore you and your relationship to God. That's the power of the gospel to save you. Amen. It is the power of God's Word. The Word has the power to completely transform your life. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world. Now here's the sad thing that's happened in many Christians' lives in America today is when you look at their life, you can't really tell much difference from people around them. They live and act and talk pretty much just like everybody else. They're conformed to the world. And the Bible says, don't be conformed to the world. But what's the answer? It says, be transformed, radically changed, transformed. That's such a powerful word. It's not just be made a little better, do a little better. No, it's a transformation. And how does that transformation take place? It says, by the renewing of your mind. There has to be something that happens in your mind, a renewing of the mind, and that happens from the Word of God. Listen, the only way that we're going to really have the power to live a Christian life and live the way God wants us to is if we have the power of the Word of God in our life to transform our mind or to renew our mind, and that transforms our life. Romans 12 2. One more time. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the Word of God has a power in it that can change your mind, change the way you think, and it changes your life. When you're born again, you're born of the Spirit of God, but you still have many of the same old thought patterns and attitudes. You got to renew your mind with the Word of God. Otherwise, you still end up acting like the world around you. James 1:21, it says, receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul. You know, in this country, for decades, people talked about saving souls, and they were talking about people being born again. But when the Bible says that the engrafted Word is able to save your soul, it's not saying that it'll get you to heaven. That's not at all what this verse of Scripture is saying. The word soul isn't the same as spirit. It's not talking about being born again. In fact, we read in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God divides between spirit and soul. It'll show you the difference between the soulish realm and the spiritual realm. No, when the Bible speaks of the soul, it is the Greek word psuche, which is the same word from which we get psychology. It's talking about your mind, will, and emotions. The NIV just translates it as you, because it's talking about your whole person, personality, your mind, will, and emotions. And when the Bible speaks of saving, what's it talking about? Saving from what? That Greek word means to heal, to make whole. It means to restore. It means to deliver. So the engrafted Word, the Word of God, has a power in it to make whole, to restore, to heal, to deliver your mind, will, and emotions. I'm telling you, as a child of God, we need to avail ourselves of the power of God's Word to bring healing and wholeness to our mind, will, and emotions. There's a lot of Christians that, just like the world around them, they're messed up. Come on now. We've all been there in some way. Got some area of our life where we're messed up. And how much of it goes to what's going on in our mind, will, and emotions? It is the Word of God that can deliver and set free and heal and make whole your mind, will, and emotions. So how do we get this power of the Word of God in our lives? I want to make this very simple. I'm going to give you 7 real quick points. Number one, you got to hear it. You got to hear it. You have to hear it with a natural ear, however you can, whether it's from a teacher, a preacher, a radio, TV, a friend, reading it for yourself. You got to hear the Word of God. That power won't have an effect on you until you hear it. And the more that you give yourself the opportunity to hear the Word of God, the more you're giving yourself the opportunity to tap into that power, to avail yourself of the power of God in His Word. It's a blessing to live in a country where the Word of God is so prevalent that most of us have 5 or 6 Bibles sitting around. You can turn on the radio, the TV, and hear it. You can go to church pretty much every night of the week if you want to, especially in DFW. There's always somewhere you can go to a service. But not only that, well, you can listen to the Word on the internet. You can get CDs of the sermons and listen to them in your car. It's all around us, but seems like that a lot of the time we take that for granted. I want to tell you that if you want to power up your life, then use the Word of God. The more that you hear it, the more you're giving yourself the opportunity to have that power working in you. Now, there's a lot of people that just choose not to hear it, which kind of takes us to the next point. To hear it biblically, like it's speaking of in Romans 10:17, hearing by the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. It's not just to hear it with the natural ear, but it means to receive it. And that's the second thing. You got to hear it, but then you also have to receive it. A lot of people reject the Word of God. They hear it being preached, or they read it in the Word, but they reject it. They don't really receive it. Jesus talked about this in the parable of the sower, that some of the seed of the Word of God fell on a beaten path, and the birds of the air came and snatched it away. You see, some people hear the Word, but they don't receive it into their heart. They just leave it lay there, and the enemy comes and steals it away. Now, there's usually a reason why the Word is not received. Sometimes, oftentimes, it is because of religious traditions and teachings. Remember, Jesus said to the religious people, He says, you make the Word of God of no effect through your traditions that your fathers have handed down. See, when people have been taught that God's Word is not true, when they've been taught that it's only partially true, it renders it powerless in their life until they choose the Word of God over their tradition. When people have been taught that the Word or the promises are only for certain people or for a certain time, it renders that Word powerless in their life. They've rejected it. They've not received it. When people are taught false doctrines that deny the power of God, we talked about that from 2 Timothy chapter 3. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And when people have been taught that and they get that down inside of them, then when they hear the word that God's power is available today to heal and to do miracles in their life, they don't receive it. I'm telling you, we have to realize if we've allowed some of those things in our heart and our life, and I say allowed, you say, well, I grew up that way. I was taught that way. Well, until you get to the place where you'll believe God's word and receive His word, that old tradition is going to render the word of the Lord of no effect in your life. You make the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you've handed down. That's what Jesus said. See, sometimes it's not religious teaching per se, although in a way it still is a religion, but it is the philosophies of this world, things like there is no God. The Bible is just a book written by a bunch of people. Here's one that's taught at a lot of seminaries. Well, now, you know, those are myths. Fables to teach us something. Why, the Red Sea, it was really the Reed Sea that they walked across, and it was only 6 inches deep. They never explained, though, how the whole entire Egyptian army, the greatest army in the world at that time, was destroyed and drowned in 6 inches of water. They call it fables and myths, and they undermine the power of God to work in the hearts and lives of people. I'm telling you, those kinds of philosophies and attitudes and ideas keep people from receiving the Word of God. Keep the power of God's Word from working in people's lives. Here's another one that's real common in America. It's, I'll believe it when I see it. That's not faith. Faith is, we believe and then we'll see it. We walk by faith, not by sight. You can't ever please God just walking by, well, I'll believe it when I see it. No, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That kind of attitude keeps you from receiving God's Word. But the main thing that keeps people from receiving and really opening up to the Word of God is just simply pride. However it comes. That's why James 1:21 says this, receive, and there's that word, receive. You got to receive it. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. You receive with meekness. You have to be humble and teachable. Now, we should never be gullible. We should never allow ourselves just to believe everything that we hear. When it's the word of man, certainly we should never be gullible. But when it's the word of God, we need to open our hearts and receive with meekness. Don't allow pride to keep you from receiving of the word of God. Number three, you got to believe it. Now, we've talked a lot about how important it is to believe the word of God. It's not until you believe that power can begin to flow in your life. But God responds to faith, and it's when we take His Word and we believe Him, we take Him at His Word, that the power of God is activated in our life and begins to work in us. You know, it's when you begin to pray in faith and believe you receive, that's when that power begins. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, it's not a matter of whether or not I can see it yet. No, the Word of God, that power has been activated in your life, even though you can't see it, it's when you begin to believe it. It's the evidence. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You can't see it, but you've got an evidence of it. It's called faith. And when we have that faith, when we believe the Word of God, the next natural progression is that you speak it. Number four, you want the power of God's Word in your life? You speak it. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "We also believe and therefore speak." You see, if you really believe, you're going to speak it. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when you get the Word of God down in your heart and you really believe it, it's going to begin to come out of your mouth. You know, when you speak the Word of God in faith, you're releasing power. It's not just frivolous babbling. It's not just you talking. When you're speaking God's Word, there's power in it. Now, sometimes we may speak God's Word even though we don't fully believe it. Maybe we're trying to believe it, but we're just not there yet. And I want to tell you something. That's still a powerful thing. Now, you need to believe it, because until you can really believe it and speak it, you're not going to see what you're believing for come to pass. But sometimes, if we'll just keep speaking it, you'll start believing it. You ever known somebody that told lies and told a lie so long they kept telling the same lie until they believed it? I hope you weren't that person. But you know, we've all known somebody like that. They told a lie long enough. Maybe they told it for a year or 10 years, 20 years, and somewhere down the road, some of you are nudging your spouse. They told a lie long enough, they actually believe it. I'm telling you this morning, if you'll speak the Word of God, you'll speak the truth. See, it's not a lie, it's the truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." If you'll speak the word long enough, you'll actually begin to believe it. Now, it's best. You hear the word and you begin to believe and you speak it out of your mouth. But I'm telling you, there's times when if you'll just keep speaking it. You know, here's another thing that's happening when you're speaking it. You're hearing it again. Every time you speak it, you're hearing the word, and it's going to cause faith to come in your heart. You speak the word. You want the power of God, the power of the Word of God in your life, you got to speak it. Number five, you got to think it. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." If you think about things that others have, that you wished you had, that you think you deserve, you know, before long you'll begin to be envious, maybe covetous, wanting the things that they have. If you've been hurt and wronged, and you think, all of us have, you think about the things that others have done to you, maybe a particular person, and you go over it in your mind, and you keep thinking about it, you'll become bitter and resentful. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And you see, if we want the power of God's Word at work in our lives, then we need to think in line with God's Word. When Joshua was getting ready to lead God's people into the Promised Land, God spoke this to him. Joshua 1:8, "Don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth." In other words, he said, you speak the Word of God. "But meditate therein day and night." Now, the word meditate in our society today kind of has a weird connotation. People think of some weird, strange Eastern religion. But scripturally, the word meditate just means to think on it over and over, to go over it and over it, to mull over it. In fact, the Hebrew word, part of that meaning is to mutter it. You know how you can say something under your breath as you're thinking it, and you just keep going over and over it. That's meditating it, thinking it. But the Lord said that this was part of the key to Joshua and the children of Israel to their success, is that he had to not let this book of the law depart out of his mouth, but meditate therein day and night. You see, we got to get our thoughts in line with the Word of God. As new creatures in Christ Jesus, we have to put off the old man and put on the new, but there's a key in doing that. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The NIV says the attitude of your mind. And you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You got that old man, that old nature that's corrupt according to deceitful lust. You got the new man that you're supposed to put on that's like God, created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 23, you can't leave it out. Because I'm telling you, without verse 23, you won't be able to put off the old man or put on the new. And here it is. You have to be renewed, be made new in the spirit of your mind, in the attitude of your mind. If you keep thinking like the world, you keep thinking the same old thoughts, you're going to end up in the same old patterns. No, you have to think according to the Scripture, according to the Word of God. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You want the power of the Word to work in your life? Change the way you think. Get your thoughts in line with God's Word. See, sometimes to change the way we think, it's important to change some of the input. As I said in the announcements today, it's one of the things that happens at children's camp and youth camp. They get away from some of their normal environment. You know, that diet of 3 hours of TV and 2 hours of internet every day and maybe some ungodly friends. And they surround themselves there in a Christian atmosphere and they're hearing the Word every day. Listen, that's available to all of us every day. We don't have to go off to a camp or retreat to change our input. No, we can choose to turn the TV off and turn the radio off and get something that has the Word of God in it. Get you some godly books instead of those silly books you're reading. I'm preaching good right now. See, sometimes we need to change the input. It's garbage in, garbage out. Well, that sounds, you know, preacher, that sounds all well and good. You got a verse for that? I sure do. Jesus said, Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's what you're treasuring up in your heart. And what you know, when you daily input, partake of things that are not godly, not of God. You might say, well, it's not sinful, it's not bad. But I'm telling you, you put all of that in, the same garbage in as everybody else, and then we want to live this powerful, overcoming life. No, you need to renew your mind. You need to fill your heart with the Word of God. And as you do that, what comes out? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm telling you, it's available to us, but we have to be willing to change the way we think. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, there's three things that you could just sum up this way. I'm telling you, that's negative input. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. There's the good input. And here's the power. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But you got to renew your mind with the Word of God. You know, if you keep thinking on it and you keep renewing your mind with the Word of God, you're going to get it down in your heart. You're going to know it. And that's the next point, number 6. And all of these just follow a natural progression. But the next, you know, when you think on it and you keep meditating, there comes a day when you know it. You know it intimately. And it has a power in your life to set you free. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on Him, if you abide in My words, King James says, if you continue in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here's what happens, as you stay in the Word, you continue in it. There comes a day when you know it. Now, I'm not just talking about memorization. That's a good thing, by the way. But I'm not just talking about memorization. Sometimes people memorize just the words, but they still don't know it in their heart. But if you'll meditate on it, you'll keep sticking with it, keep thinking the Word of God, there'll come a day when you really know it. And that truth, Jesus says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's powerful. I don't know what you need, what area you need victory in your life over, but I'm telling you, when you know the truth, it'll set you free. Number 7, we want the power of God's Word in our life. It's available, but you got to do it. All of these, as I said, they follow a natural progression. When you really know the Word of God, you see, when you've heard it and you've received it and you believe it and you speak it and you think it and you know it, listen, then it's not hard to do it. Then it's not hard to live according to the Word of God. That's why Joshua 1:8 goes on and it says, don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night that thou mayest observe to do. You see, when you've meditated in it day and night, then you can do it. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, that being prosperous and successful, oh, we want that power in our life. But it comes when we have spoken it and meditated and we've done it. By the way, I want to remind you that faith without works is dead. It's not until we act on the Word of God, until we're willing to do the Word of God, that we're really living by faith. And that's when we see the power of God. You see, that woman, remember we talked about her, the woman with the issue of blood. It was because she acted on her faith that the power of God was released to heal her that day. But the Word of God has the power in it to change your life, change your attitude, change your circumstances. And yet, for most of us, it sits on a shelf far too much of the time. Or we listen to, you know, all the modern technology can be blessing or curse in your life. Say, well, I enjoy the internet. All right, you can download sermons and listen to preachers and listen to the Word of God on the internet all day long. Well, that's not what I meant. I understand it might not appeal to your flesh. It appeals to your spirit. Well, I'd rather listen to that cool station I like in my car. Well, if you want the power of God in your life, you start building up your spirit listening to sermons of CDs. And if you say, well, Pastor, I can only take you once a week. That's all right. That's all right. You get some others, you get some sermons and you listen to them, but you listen to the Word of God. Feed your spirit. See, we come to church, or maybe, you know, we go to a special service, we get all pumped up and we're full of faith and we feel strong, and then we go out and a few days later we're not. Well, first of all, why did we feel strong? Because we heard the Word, and the Word, the power of the Word strengthened our faith, strengthened our spirit. I got some news for you. You don't have to wait till next Sunday or next whenever. Amen. You can feed yourself the Word of God and keep your faith strong. Keep yourself built up and keep growing by the power of God's Word, growing as a Christian every day and seeing God's power at work in your life to truly live an overcoming, victorious Christian life that God has for you. Well, stand with me, and as we go to the Lord in prayer, our prayer partners are going to...